Joining us now on the Quicken Loans guest hotline, Dan Orlovsky, 12-year NFL veteran and proud dad of triplet boys, which I actually want to hear about first before we get into the quarterbacks. Follow Dan on Twitter, at DanOrlovsky7. Dan's appearance brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Of course, you can follow us all on Twitter. I'm at ScottLynn980. Tim Murray, of course, is at 1TimMurray. Steve Solomon, at Steve Solomon, S-O-L-O-M-O-N. Dan, good morning. How are you? Welcome to SB Nation AM.
Morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. The triplet thing. I know you don't, you know, I know people don't plan for this, although sometimes they give it a shot for a variety of reasons. What's that like, man?
It's busy. We don't believe in a quiet home. You know, fortunately for me, they're all boys. The triplets are boys, and they're about 6 years old. And so it's a busy house. We go through a lot of food. You know, my wife's personality and kind of mannerisms are a little bit more suited to boys anyway. So we're lucky. It's a lot of fun. It was a lot of work early on, no doubt. But we're in a pretty good place right now.
Again, speaking as an older dad, I have three kids. We also have three dogs. But the triplet thing, our first two are 22 months apart. So we're like, all right, it's not easy. It's, you know, it's challenging. And then we saw friends with three under four, whatever was mathematically possible. And I'm like, are you people crazy? And we do have friends who have twins and then a third who's, you know, year and a half younger. And I'm like, you guys, that's nuts. And I, you know, full props is all I can say. It's instant zone defense.
It wasn't a planned thing for us, for sure. We didn't sleep much for the first 18 months of their lives, no doubt. But like I said, it's fun, man. We're in a good place.
12-year NFL veteran Dan Orlovsky joins us this morning. We took note, and Tim was great in pointing it out, and you kicked ass on Twitter with the film provided and the insight provided, and it helped lay people and sports radio putzes like myself, you know, get a little more insight into the hows, the whats, the whens, and the whys. Is this something, basically, before we get into the details, what is sort of the end game? Is it you want to go into scouting, you want to go into coaching, you want to go, you know, get TV gigs out of this, or, hey, it's Dan's scouting service, and this is, you know, take it for what it is?
No, I want to get into television. You know, I think that there is a massive need for people right now in the television world that understand the game in a really good depth, but also can communicate it to the person who is the high school swimmer but loved football, you know, to get them to truly understand it and appreciate it, not just the diehard football fan, but to be able to hit both. The unique thing for me is, as a backup quarterback, that was kind of my life. I had to communicate to the third-string running back, who was dumb as bricks, and our third-string receiver, who was really bright, the same thing, but get them to understand it differently. And so it's kind of like that in the television world, I feel. And so I don't want to get into coaching. I know what that lifestyle looks like. Obviously, having the triplets, and I have a daughter as well, not for me, at least right now. Scouting is something that's always intrigued me, front office and general manager-wise, but I really have enjoyed the last couple months of kind of getting into the media analyst broadcast world, and we'll see where it goes.
So the draft order went Mayfield, Darnold, Allen, then Rosen. In Dan Orlovsky's world, would you have picked them in that order?
No. I was adamant pretty early on and throughout the whole process that I thought Sam Darnold should have been the number one pick. You know, it was interesting as the draft has happened a couple days ago and days have moved on, and you hear some interviews that Alonzo Highsmith for the Cleveland Browns, who's one of their high-ranking front office officials, said it was Sam Darnold before the season, it was Sam Darnold after he watched the tape, it was Sam Darnold after the combine and whatnot, and then after he watched a workout with Baker Mayfield, it switched. So that was really intriguing to me, that the switch happened after a workout and that he openly admitted it. But I thought should have been Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, and then, to be honest with you, I didn't know Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson were kind of in the grouping together for me.
Talking to Dan Orlovsky, at Dan Orlovsky 7 on Twitter, and I am just curious because, as you mentioned, you were in the league for 12 years, and I'm sure there are plenty of times when a young rookie quarterback came into your meeting room and they were maybe a little green, hoping to learn from a veteran. What are these next couple months like? Because a Baker Mayfield comes in and Tyrod Taylor's there. He's, you know, wanting to provide for his family. These are all grown men who want to keep playing in this league, but the front offices want them to also be a mentor. So what is that dynamic like in a quarterback room when a rookie comes in, a guy that the front office and the ownership eventually wants to be the starter in that city?
Yeah, it's immediate tension. It's no matter what people tell you, it's not all roses. It's Tyrod Taylor is very aware of his situation, and he knew that going into it, but it doesn't make it easier. They're not going to be chummy buddies. They might put on, you know, for a facade and for the face and you know, be good soldiers, but at the end of the day, Tyrod Taylor is going to do everything he can to fend off a guy like Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield's going to go take his job, take the money out of his pocket. That's just the reality of the NFL. So the next couple months, I don't imagine Tyrod Taylor going out of his way to consistently help Baker Mayfield. Now, it's good for the Browns that they've got a guy like Drew Stanton in their room, that's his role, is to go help. But it'll be a really interesting couple months to watch just how it unfolds, because the personalities will be the biggest thing. No matter what quarterback room that you go into, the personalities, the dynamic of how they mesh, the respect level that is displayed between each other, because there's only one job, and each room has 3-4 guys in it, but there's only one. And so everybody's kind of wanting that role. It's sometimes the room is dependent on how it plays out, but everybody's wanting that role, but everybody's role is important. And so that'll be the thing to watch when you're going into these rooms. Does Baker Mayfield continue that kind of brash, egotistical personality into that room? Can Sam Darnold mesh well coming from the West Coast to the East Coast and truly take over from Josh McCown with the Jets? Can Josh Allen, coming from the small school, dominate his quarterback room? Because if you can't dominate in college, then you can't dominate your quarterback room, then you can't dominate on the field. A.J. McCarron's there in Buffalo, so A.J. McCarron's waiting for his spot. This is finally his opportunity, so how is he going to get along with the guy that was taken to basically take the opportunity that he never got, you know, away? Will Josh Rosen's, you know, how is he going to handle being around a guy who's super quiet and introverted like Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon? So it'll be all these dynamics. That's the thing, is the personality dynamics in the rooms and how they fit.
Dan, I'm glad you brought that up, and it was actually a direct piggyback off Tim's question. For those young guys, is there a proper way to behave? Because, again, as you mentioned, the Browns drafted a guy who's in the personality of their GM. People want Baker Mayfield because they want the cocky, they want the swagger. But for him to go in, does he go in and, hey, Mr. Taylor, I'm here to learn at your feet, and I want to do the right thing? But then you'll start to hear reports of, well, the aggression that they like so much at college really hasn't been visible yet, and he is minding his P's and Q's. Did they draft the wrong guy? It seems like for the young guy, too, it's not really a win-win situation. He's got to go in there and find the happy medium.
Well, I think the biggest thing is you got to go be you. You're not there to go be buddies with everybody. That's not why you were drafted. For a guy like a Baker Mayfield or a Sam Darnold or a Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, these guys that were taken really early, they were taken to go change franchises for a decade, especially Baker Mayfield at one. They weren't chosen to go get the Nice Guy Award. They weren't chosen to go be best buddies with everybody. That's just the reality. It's a very cutthroat business. You can still do all that and be respectful, but you have to go be yourself. That's what teams fell in love with, your tape and then you. So I always say that you can still have ego and humility at that position in the NFL. All the great ones are able to have that fine balance of ego yet having humility. So it's the little things for me when you're the young guy and you go in there, no matter where you're drafted, but especially early on, it's the little things. Your teammates want to see you doing the little things day in and day out. So it's cliche, yes, but are you going to be one of the first guys in the building? Are you going to be one of the last guys in the building when we're going through drills, you know, conditioning drills? Are you one of the first guys in the lines? Are you one of the last guys out there getting some extra work? How are you interacting with your teammates? So I think for those young guys, you just have to go be you. And you've got to be confident in yourself as well. I don't like guys that go change. You don't want to change who you are, but you need to be open to massaging your personality a little bit, because it's a different world in the NFL. And there's, because guys in the NFL, don't care about what you did before you got to the NFL. Baker, no one cares that Baker Mayfield won the Heisman Trophy. He was the number one pick. And no one cares that Sam Darnold lit up Penn State 2 years ago. And no one cares that Josh Allen could throw the ball a million miles an hour. No one cares that Josh Rosen wants to talk about the president. They care about what you do when you get there. And so that's the biggest thing, is proving yourself day after day with the little things.
At Dan Orlovsky 7, as we talk to former NFL quarterback Dan Orlovsky here on SB Nation AM, when you look at the quarterbacks drafted in the first round, which quarterback walks into the best situation when you look at all things, talent around them, the quarterback room, the coaching staff, which of the five do you think is walking into the best situation as a rookie?
I actually think it's Josh Rosen. You know, if you look at the situation he walks into with Arizona, one, I can't sit here and tell you that you think Sam Bradford or a friend of mine, Mike Glennon, is better than Josh Rosen right now. I think Josh Rosen is fully equipped to go run an NFL offense really well right now, and even better once he gets his hands on it and his mind looking through it. But their offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy, Philip Rivers' greatest years, or some of his greatest four-year stretch, was when Mike McCoy was the head coach of the Chargers. Philip's second, third, and fourth best seasons touchdown-wise under Mike McCoy as his play caller. His best completion percentage as an NFL pro under Mike McCoy as his play caller. So Mike McCoy likes a quarterback who can go to the line of scrimmage and do things, change protections, make audibles. We all know, we see Philip Rivers run up to the line of scrimmage in the last second, change a play call, touchdown Antonio Gates. And so he likes a guy that has the ability mentally to be able to do that. Well, that's Josh Rosen's greatest strength. I also like the fact that Arizona's got a really good defense, really good, top 10 defense. And so when you have a young quarterback, coaches do two things with them. They either get them to be too cautious when they have a good defense. Hey, we just need you to be smart with the football, take a check down, we can punt, play good defense and special teams. Well, that ruins young quarterbacks. It ruins them because it doesn't teach them anything. It teaches them to be fearful. It teaches them to protect the football. That's the last thing you want to do. You want these guys to learn to be aggressive. You want these guys to learn that to trust their abilities and trust their eyes and let it rip. Well, having a top 10 defense will allow them to do that, because he's going to learn, okay, if I make a mistake, I've got a defense that can bail me out. If I turn the ball over or throw a pick, I got a defense that can help me. If you look at the quarterbacks who have come into the NFL who have had, you know, some success early on and then an extended success, guys like Carson Wentz and Roethlisberger and Matt Ryan, they had good defenses early on and really aggressive play callers. So I like where Josh Rosen is with Arizona. Mind you, never mind the fact that he's got fits. It's going to teach him so much about understanding how receivers work in the NFL. Christian Kirk draft pick was great. They're going to get David Johnson back. I think he's in a really good place.
Dan, before we let you run, I am curious your thoughts on Lamar Jackson and the landing spot that he has in Baltimore. You got Marty Morningwig as their OC. He was in Philadelphia with the resurgence of Michael Vick. Greg Urban is going to be his quarterback coach, was also in Philly with Michael Vick. You've got Greg Roman, too, who is there. Sorry, James Urban, I beg your pardon, is his QB coach. So what do you think about Lamar Jackson, where he is in Baltimore with that coaching staff?
Yeah, the coaching staff is huge. I really believe that. Lamar Jackson's in a good spot because he's not going to be forced to play. It'll depend on how they view RG3 and what they plan to do with him for this year. But Lamar Jackson needs some work. He needs work physically with his base to be able to play more efficiently, to throw better, just throw better. And you can do that by widening his base and allowing him to almost, when we played Little League shortstop, all the time our coaches would say, hey, you got to get it. Widen your stance a little bit. Be ready for the ball to be hit at you at any time. That's how you want to play quarterback for Lamar Jackson. He's got to widen that base a little bit to allow him to just be more accurate throwing the football. I do love the fact that that coaching staff is there, and the guy for me is Greg Roman. Having had that success with Cap and San Francisco under Harbaugh, I've said this. The biggest thing for Lamar Jackson moving forward are two things. Can he stay healthy? Because he's going to get on the field eventually. Eventually, he's going to be the guy. So can he stay healthy enough to be the weapon that he was at Louisville? Because I think he's got the ability to do it. And the second thing is, and this is why the coaching staff is paramount, will they allow him to be the weapon that he is on a consistent basis? You always hear when these athletic quarterbacks come into the NFL, well, we want to make him more of a pocket passer. Why? I'll never understand that. Why? I'm not going to take Tom Brady and make him more of a on the throw runner or on the run thrower. So why would I do the vice versa of an athlete? So I want to see how they frame an offense around him and allow him to be always at his greatest strength, and that's running around, being on edges. And it doesn't necessarily mean designed quarterback runs, but a lot of play actions, bootlegs, half rolls, movement stuff. So I like where he is. He needs a couple years to develop, and we'll see what the coaching staff can do with him.
Dan, listen, very gracious with your time this morning. We appreciate it. Continued success, and stay well with the kids. We will talk soon down the road.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. At Dan Orlovsky, 7-12-year NFL veteran quarterback, a guy who knows a thing or two about the games and the coaches and the personalities.